happening near Chicago this afternoon. The derailment is located near the city of Galena, Illinois, where the Galena River meets the Illinois River. Several cars have caught fire, and firefighters say they're allowing the fire to go ahead and burn itself out. Firefighters from the nearby town, as well as hazardous material responders, are on the scene of the derailment, which had to be reached by a bicycle trail. We will have a full report on this derailment, as well as yesterday's hazardous materials fire at the Port of Vancouver, Canada, on tomorrow's evening news at 5 p.m. Be sure to tune in. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast. We encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories here at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ethan Martin, Robin Ryan, and Eric Tegedoff. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Yanko Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or you can look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Robert Barncourt.
And I'm Pat Epstein. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7 it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Anne and Lynn host Positively Revolting Talk Radio, a variety of topics from an eco-feminist and anarcho-feminist perspective. At 9, it's APA Compass, a forum for dialogue, exploration, and dissemination of issues pertinent to APA communities. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. She speaks with Protop Chatterjee about his new article, Is Drone Warfare Fraying at the Edges? At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on the Radio Zine, Per Farraging interviews journalist and writer Barsamyan about alternative radio, visa denials, and international politics. And at 11:30, Don Merrill speaks with Scott Showalter, president of the Oregon Symphony Orchestra, about their outreach program to get more young people attending the symphony. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth.
Good night, Pat.
Good night, Robert.
Good night, Matthew.
Night, Matthew.
Good night.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Thank you for listening to the KBOO Evening News. My name is Sam Bowman. An overzealous security guard has allegedly been harassing music festival goers in Oregon from as far back as 2012. Several people have accused Joseph Hernandez of impersonating a sheriff, unlawful detainment, death threats and intimidation, theft, and harassment that borders on assault. KBOO reporter Nico Kwiatkowski filed this report back in February after KBOO heard from two people who had been harassed by Hernandez.
One alleged victim, Gypsy Taub, reports Hernandez impersonated a police officer during two confrontations at the Beloved Festival in Tidewater, Oregon in 2012. As Gypsy tells it, the first took place due to a parking dispute at the event. She was asked by security to move her car, which she did, and then moved back again to give a performer room to load equipment in and out of their vehicle. Gypsy says she was approached by Hernandez.
He said he was the sheriff. He showed me a sheriff badge that said sheriff on it, told me he was going to arrest me, that I need to get the hell out of that festival before he arrests me. And I said, well, I need to get my refund at least. So he got on the radio and told the woman at the box office, arrest her when she gets there so I wouldn't be able to get my refund.
She received her refund and the next day was parked outside of a store in Alsea, Oregon, miles away from the festival, with her kids. She was attempting to sell a remaining ticket that had belonged to her friend. According to Gypsy, the same security guard showed up after the ticket had been sold and accused her of selling counterfeit tickets. This time, Gypsy confronted Hernandez about his badge.
I said, "Are you really a sheriff? Can you show me your badge?" He showed me his badge again, and this time I paid close attention and I saw that there was no badge number on it. He got pissed off and started yelling at me. Then I said to him, "Well, I don't think you're really a sheriff because there is no number on your badge. What is your badge number, and are you really a sheriff?" At that point, he kind of got uncomfortable, and he just wanted to wrap up, and he said, "Well, I just want to make sure there are no problems with the tickets." I said, "Well, I assure you that there are no problems."
She says he pulled out a pair of handcuffs, and Gypsy eventually fled with her kids. Gypsy reported the incident to the police.
The police went to the festival trying to arrest him, but the manager covered up for him and said, "Oh, you know, she was just confused. He showed her a security guard badge," and, you know, so they didn't even search him, because had they searched him, they would have found that sheriff badge. So at that point, they didn't have enough evidence to pursue a criminal investigation, so they just told me to go ahead and file a civil lawsuit.
At the civil trial, another alleged victim, John, testified about his experiences with Hernandez at the What the Festival in the summer of 2013. According to his account, John showed up to the festival early with some friends. They tried to get their tickets at will call, but it was late at night and they were told they would have to wait until the next day. While looking for a place to camp, they were confronted by security, who accused them of trespassing. According to John, him and his friends were handcuffed and placed in a shed. Throughout the night, they were interrogated and threatened, culminating in what John describes next.
The head security guard of that company finds out, I guess, that we don't have our solid tickets in hand. He starts threatening, "Okay, how about I throw all your stuff into this pond and then you guys just leave here?" And we were like, "No, dude, you're not going to throw all of our stuff away." And then he goes on to say, "Okay, well, how about," and pulls out a gun at me and my friend, and he's like, "Okay, well, how about I kill you all and throw you and your stuff in there, and no one says anything about it?" Starts making all these death threats.
According to John, he tried to call the police, but his phone was taken away. He states that eventually Hernandez stole credit card information from the mother of one of John's friends.
They took my one friend aside, and they were like, "All right, you're going to call your mom." And he called his mom in the middle of the night, you know, and tells her pretty much, "Bye, Mom, this guy's going to kill me." And he takes the phone and, you know, works out that she's going to give him credit card information, you know, and he's going to, like, tax all this stuff at the festival to her credit card. He gets all that information and is like, "All right, you know," charges were made to the credit card that night.
John and his friends were released by security in the morning. Gypsy won the civil trial, but was awarded only $500 to reimburse her gas by the court. The court ruled that because Gypsy herself was not detained, personal damages cannot be awarded. And according to Gypsy and John, the police are asking for more evidence in order to open a criminal investigation. Their full stories can be read at www.beloved-festival-nightmare.blogspot.com. Hernandez has apparently worked at a number of festivals organized by Beloved Presents LLC, including the Beloved Music Festival and the What the Festival. Beloved LLC could not be reached for comment by the time of this report. A representative from one of Hernandez's former employers, a security company in Eugene, confirmed that they had received numerous complaints regarding Hernandez over the past year, including complaints from community members as well as reports of sexual harassment within the company, which eventually led to his termination. If any listeners have any information regarding Joseph Hernandez or incidents with festival security, or wish to file a formal complaint, they can contact Karen Evans at the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training at 503-378-8529. This is Nico Kwiatkowski with KBOO News.
An ongoing investigation by the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, or DPSST, has already stripped Hernandez of his license, and the Wasco County Sheriff is investigating his actions at What the Festival as well. We spoke to a number of private security professionals who have worked with Hernandez. The individuals we spoke to provided insights into the world of private security and shared a number of common concerns. First, Violence or detainment are extreme measures and shouldn't be used except for in the most extreme circumstances. As Mike Lord, a former co-worker of Joseph Hernandez and current employee of Storm Security, explains.
We have a full hands-off. We use what is called verbal kung fu, which what that entails is we want to say and do everything we can to make sure we do not have to put hands on anyone and they don't have to put hands on us. A handcuff is a last resort, and that generally only happens once an officer has been assaulted.
We were also told that Hernandez himself has a long history of erratic behavior, and he was described by numerous former coworkers as, quote, dangerous. As we related the stories told to us by Gypsy and John, many stated that this was, quote, just the tip of the iceberg. John Skinner, a manager with District Security who has been in the industry for 23 years, was the person who introduced Hernandez to the security world and guided him in his early years.
The tip of the iceberg with me is when I saw a text message from another security officer who warned me that he said that he was going to make sexual advances towards my 17-year-old daughter to spite me.
Really?
Yeah. Joe has a tendency to be very angry and condescending towards fellow supervisors and fellow employees, I myself included. Again, I've been in this industry forever, and I don't feel, you know, with my training and my level, that I needed to be treated or talked to like that.
Mike Lord also had a number of stories of Joe Hernandez misusing his position as a security officer.
There's another event that we've worked here in Eugene that he asked to be a part of, and I agreed. I was running the event, and I believe it was E40 was in town. One of my other guards patted a customer down and found out that, you know, he had a good amount of marijuana on him. And Joe, being a normal supervisor, but wasn't a supervisor that night, he actually turned the marijuana over to Joe. At that time, Joe took the customer around the corner, sold him back the marijuana, and then let the customer in, telling my other guards that he had a medical card for it, which he didn't. The only other incident that I can think of is we were working Joe Satriani in Albany, and he took down an elderly gentleman for refusing to put away his camera. And instead of talking calmly with him, they took him to the ground, handcuffed him. I believe he had to leave in an ambulance.
We were told by Cody Seville that Joe Hernandez was carrying a gun without a license.
I've never known Joe to not carry a firearm, license or not. If you can't see it, that does not mean he doesn't have it on him.
Okay.
Which is a horrible policy. Most events, they will hire special people, either from our company or another company, that are armed, and they ask us to be armed, and you need to be visibly armed. There's no hidden guns. Everything needs to be visible, and generally those people have the responsibility of guarding the cash locations for the event.
A number of security guards we spoke to have seen Joe Hernandez carrying a firearm and pulling it on not just event goers, but also his fellow security guards. Again, John Skinner.
I do know that a couple security officers did come to me and say, we were right there. Joe pulled a gun on this guy. And the event, actually, that I'm remembering that happened at was Human Nature in 2013. And that had to do with somebody selling Joe's son or attempting to sell Joe's son illegal narcotics.
Okay.
And Joe held the gentleman at gunpoint. I received a phone call from another business owner, manager in the Eugene area by the name of John Chewy Burgess. He's had personal experiences with Joe. I believe he actually had a firearm pulled on him by Joe himself. But he called me about the Human Nature. I think it was a Human Nature one. It was either the Human Nature one or What the Festival 2013. There was two gun incidences that year that I know of for sure. And Chewy had called me expressing serious concern about it. and saying one of the guys that was thrown to the ground and held at gunpoint was a lawyer friend of his.
Many security guards feel that Hernandez is not using his training for good. Again, Mike Lord with Storm Security.
Our job there is to keep people safe and make sure they're having fun. And if they get, you know, over-intoxicated or whatever the case may be, we still got to keep them safe and still let them have fun, but keep them safe.
This view of security work mirrors a code of ethics that was created alongside the official security licensing body, the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, or DPSST. Private security professionals are required to attend mandatory trainings every 2 years and are not allowed to work without a license. KABU spoke to Lindsay Hale of the DPSST, who filled us in on some of the nuts and bolts of security licensing. First, she explained that becoming a security guard requires meeting a certain age and education standard, as well as a moral fitness standard, which is created by performance in training and on the job. There is a weeks-long training course followed by a lengthy evaluation process. Hale confirmed that Joseph Hernandez is currently suspended and has been since December of 2014 for reasons she was unable to disclose due to ongoing investigations. She also told us that since his record began in 2010, he has been suspended 7 times. We asked her whether or not this was a typical number of suspensions, and the only information she could give was, quote, "I don't want to say suspensions are uncommon, but they're not common either." She also explained that Hernandez was, at one time, certified as an armed security guard, but she could not elaborate. Private security resides in a sort of law enforcement limbo. Unlike police officers, these individuals have no legal authority over regular citizens, being regular citizens themselves. Yet the presence of uniforms, badges, weapons, and other trappings of law enforcement make it easy to conflate the two, and some security guards have used this to their advantage.